This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we have with us, did you get the name written down? I did not.
No, I didn't either.
I can tell you.
That would work.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cyril Champenois, a very French name.
Yes, yes.
I'm one of the founder of Elixir Aircraft, a French company making training aircraft.
Okay, so we have a nice-looking two-seat low wing with big springy landing gear for us student pilots that are terrible.
Yeah, but it's got some neat features to it.
It does. All carbon fiber. Now, you were saying before we came on that it is a technology called one-shot, meaning that it is a one-piece fuselage, no sections bonded together. It's all one layup.
Yeah, that's right. For the wing as well, and there is only 9 parts for the airframe, actually. So no ribs, no spar, no rivets, no stringers, no bounding, no screws and things.
Oh, my goodness. How do you do that?
Well, it's a little secret, but the story is coming from racing sailboats. If you see now America's Cup boat flying 50 knots above the water, and those guys realize that to reach those speeds, they need to get rid of all those interfaces that are mechanically constrained in the frame. And they said, okay, well, the composite can make it stop bonding ribs on the skin and bonding a rib on the spar, so that we can remove all those constraints, so that the skin becomes itself the spar. And what they have done is 100% working for aviation as well, because it's reducing complexity in production, reducing the number of controls in maintenance, so your mechanics is not spending ages to check that if it's moving or not, fatigue, corrosion and things, and it makes it things safer, because there is a reduced risk of fails, because less parts, it's like a puzzle, less pieces, it's less complex, it's better for everybody.
So you've built an airplane aimed at the training market, and essentially it's built like a truck. Well, so it's going to take a lot of abuse.
It's for training, you know. Cadets, they will do it.
Yes.
Whatever you can imagine, they will do it.
And oh, yes.
I was probably the first to do a big mistake myself when we started. So, we oversized the thing. We are currently finishing FAA Part 23 certification. And when you look at the safety margin in the calculation, it's huge. It's really huge. For composites, you can have 1.8 to 2.25 safety margin.
Mm-hmm.
And we are reaching for many parts above 5, sometimes 8.
Wow. So
that,
you can eat the ground. I mean, it's
yeah,
no problem.
Right.
I was going to say this airplane is very strong, but one of the neat features that I like about it so far, the panel in it, you've got a full glass cockpit in this aircraft. That's quite a trick.
Well, you need to think to the final user. I mean, we are teaching kids how to fly commercial aircraft, sorry, and become commercial pilots. So you need to bring that complexity of a Boeing or an Airbus on board, so that they can be trained. So you have PFD, MFD, some backup instrument in the middle, so you can simulate if you're losing this, what are you doing? Can you jump from that instrument to another? You're losing your instrument panel for the speed and things. Which one are you using? You are losing your GPS here. Can you still do the nav? The comm is you lost the comm here. Can you steal this one? This is a real life story you can do with those things.
Yeah, so that's like advanced training. I mean, that's after you've mastered the flying part. Now you're learning to handle the emergency parts.
You start with the, the good thing, you start the ab initio stuff with the aircraft. You focus on the main thing, which is flying. You go, you look outside, you make your life, and you become a real pilot. And then you jump into the world of managing complexity, which is commercial pilot's life. And then it means that with one single aircraft, you can go from somebody that has never flown of his life, close or up to CPL. With a very low fuel consumption. This thing is burning, it depends, but around 3 gallons an hour. So in terms of operating cost, it's a killer.
Yeah, that's really low fuel consumption. A training airplane is going to spend most of its time climbing out anyway, using a lot of fuel, you'd think.
Yeah, and it's climbing fast. I mean, the average is like 1,000 feet per minute. So it means that you can train faster, because you can climb up, make some training, go down, make another kind of training, and it's flying fast. I mean, even with 100 horsepower, you can reach in eco cruise 125 knots. So it means that when you think about it, pilot needs to be trained in an environment that they don't know, because this is where things get tricky. So if you fly still the same speed, like 90 knots around the area, you know by heart, you don't know if you are good or if you get used to the environment. So if you bring your kids in the aircraft in a field that they don't know at all, because you can go further away, and you discover that there's a bit of stress, maybe the environment is a bit more complex, more aircraft things, it was not that good. So, and we need to discover that before they get to the airline, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is really what we are trying to do with this aircraft.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm curious about, and this is a big question, why would you be a co-founder of an aircraft company? What possessed you to do this?
Well, we were young at that time.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, well, it sounds pretty sexy, right? Let's do it. And I was 27, and I used to work for Dassault for many years. And after doing that, it was a pretty good job, but I was traveling a lot. I've seen many companies doing so for the Dassault system, the software, not the the aircraft.
Yeah, SolidWorks.
SolidWorks, CATIA things. So it's a pretty nice job because you talk to everybody because they're all using the same tooling. And at some point, my friend Arthur, the CEO of the company, called me in 2014 and said, "You remember when we were at school doing engineering studies? We said we want to do an aircraft at some point." I was like, "Yeah, why not?" And he said, let's do it. It's time to do it. And he was coming from that sailing world. He is a pilot as well. His father was an instructor during the weekend, but he was also a skipper on the racing sailboat during the week. And
wow.
This is where he identified the jump, because he was flying on aircraft that was a bit old, and he was seeing technologies in racing sailboats that was going so fast. And he said, there is an issue. We could do something better.
Yeah.
And the market is there. So looking for the market, and he said, nobody is moving. All the aircraft are getting very old. Let's do it ourselves. And this was before our 30s, so it was 10 years ago.
That's crazy. And it's got a ballistic chute, which is a first for a trainer.
Oh, and yeah. Not to mention that it's got a crash-worthy fuel tank as well.
I saw that. Now, it talks about double-slotted flats to reduce ground effect. To me, ground effects makes me feel good because I get that extra cushion if I'm not quite on the right approach angle.
Well, yeah, that's a right thing. But you know, when you are a student and you see the end of the runway coming fast,
yes,
and you panic a bit, instead of doing the go around, you push. So it means that you are hit with the front gear, and instead of reducing power. So double slotted flap is working pretty well for airlines, for aircraft, because otherwise you would need a 4 miles runway to land. So
right.
You need to break that speed and increase the lift. And it's pretty straightforward to think, okay, let's do that so that pilot can still land with a bit of margin in mind, so they know that when they are going to reduce, they are going to go down. The thing coming with it is the always straight landing gear, like on a Piper, for example. Because if you are reducing a bit high, you may fall down, and
done that too.
Yeah, everybody has done that, which is a bit better with the oleo, because it's taking the energy, it's not giving it back, which is good for your airframe and also for the safety on the ground to not lose control, which is not the case with blade landing gear, which are springs, and
that's you can right.
give it back, you are going to take off again. So it's optimization with different systems that make things good in the end, because only the double slotted flaps with blade would make things worse. So you need to put all the things together. But the number, and you're right, the number requirement we had in mind first was safety. Because all those aircraft for the past 50 years, you see in the NTSB data or in France and Europe in the accident stat, all the same accident always in the same order, which are old that are still there because the aircraft are getting quite old and nobody's fixing it because it's designed, it's done. I mean, nobody can change it. And so bringing parachute, crash worthy fuel tank, what we call LC stall, it's how to prevent entering into spin, for example, unintentionally, how to make sure people are not going to lose control. Those things are what we had in mind first when
okay,
you design the aircraft.
Okay, that's what the fences on the wings are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the nice thing with the composites, you can have an evolving profile airfoil. So it means that the airfoil from the wing root to the wingtip is flying fast, but from the wingtip to the winglet is a very efficient airfoil at low speed. So when you increase your angle of attack when you are landing, it means that it's never going to stall from the wingtip. And this is what's preventing a loss of control, because you're not getting
you're not
into a spin
a
without
wing, right.
noticing it. So this is kind of thing that we try to work on, because they are definitely the most lethal accident you can find on the stats right now.
So you've done a lot of spin entry testing.
Yeah, that's right. Thousands. Actually, we had a small party with a test pilot a few months ago, where they reached 500 flights and over 1,000 stall in their carry with the elixir.
Wow.
That's quite a lot.
Well, that sounds like an airplane to consider if you've got a flight school.
Did you do any wind tunnel testing with the aircraft?
Well, we thought that it was a good idea initially, but we were really broke at the beginning.
Yeah, I was going to say, the budget yeah. said otherwise.
And they sent the quote, and we said, okay, right now we are going to do CFD. So in computers, makes things much efficient, and we control much more configuration in the end.
Did anybody build a radio control scale model just to see how it would fly?
Well, actually, we have young engineers at home that have seen because we have done the model for the wing tunnel. We have done it.
Okay.
It's there, and they are looking at it because it's in the corridor. and they are, should we put an engine on it?
Yeah, when nobody's looking, we're going to take it.
And it's exactly the same shape of the aircraft. Right? So, yeah, it could be.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, Cyril, your last name?
Champenois.
Champenois.
That's
okay.
Coming from Champagne.
Okay, from
nice.
Elixir Aircraft here. We've been talking about their
Champagne,
aircraft.
Champagne, Elixir.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It works. Anyway, I'm Fast Eddie,
and
allegedly.
I'm Digital Dave.
And this is EAA Radio.